Welcome to Three in the Key. Bringing you in-depth basketball analysis and interviews from the Great White North with your hosts, Elias L. Zane, Will Macklin, and Dave the Professor Tripp.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Three in the Key. Elias L. Zane alongside Dave Tripp.
What?
No, Will Macklin. He's sick, throwing up.
Poor guy.
Well, buddy. He's suffering from a heat stroke, I believe.
Unreal.
And it's not even that hot.
You know, he works hard, though. He's out there on the streets.
He is.
Promoting our building's content. It's a tough gig.
Get well, Willie Mac.
And two in the key today.
Two in the key, but we've done this before. And
seasoned vets.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
Let's come on now. Remember, you guys can get a hold of us anytime by email at the3inthekey@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at 3 in the key. Follow on Twitter at BasketPod. On Instagram at the3inthekey. And you can listen to each and every episode on iTunes, SoundCloud, TuneIn, and Stitcher Radio. And make sure to rate and review us on iTunes as well. And you can check all of our links and everything on our website at 3inthekey.ca. On today's program, we talked to Randy Cruz of the Cruise Control podcast out of New York to discuss some Knicks tape, everything to do with the New York Knicks with all their big moves now.
Yep, big offseason.
Acquisitions now behind us. D. Rose and company, Courtney Lee, Joakim Noah, they signed as a free agent. Brandon Jennings, so all that stuff and what else they're going to do, how their season's going to look. Are they just a bunch of old guys?
And hey, brand new coach, Jeff Hornacek.
Yeah, brand new coach as well, but are they a bunch of old guys that, you know, are going to put, 40 wins together? Or is this a team that's going to get you 50-plus wins and make a deep playoff run and try to get to the NBA Finals for the first time in a couple of decades?
That's a tall order. We'll talk to Randy about that.
For sure. Some college basketball later on in the program with Dave Tripp. A look at some teams. They've had some preseason games up here in Canada, some NCAA teams.
Yep.
Against the Ravens and the GGs and whatnot. Some college basketball. We'll talk later. A couple of different conferences, a couple of different teams and transfers. We'll go into who we think is going to have a big sophomore year.
Yes.
Sophomore breakouts.
Back to the NBA.
And a couple of other news from the NBA, including the Pelicans, Curry, who's in China. He's making some news as well.
How about Joel Embiid working out?
Joel Embiid.
He looks like a monster.
We'll get to that. But first, we'll start with some good news out of the North here first.
Very good news.
Yeah, the Raptors have signed President Masai Ujiri to a multi-year contract extension. They also promoted Jeff Weltman to GM and Bobby Webster to assistant GM and vice president of basketball strategy. Masai will still be taking over basketball operations. A great extension, obviously. Masai was a great pickup when he first came. Three straight division titles, franchise record in wins each of the past three seasons, record in home wins, a record in away wins, reached the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time ever this past season, won their first ever seven-game series and their second ever seven-game series this past playoffs and beating the Pacers and the Heat, both in seven games in Toronto. So great move by the Raptors brass up there. Their board extending Masai, who's done nothing but great since he got there. Obviously, unloading Rudy Gay, unloading Bargnani, getting first-round picks in return and a whole bunch of players and assets. And the team is building. They got some young guys. Obviously, they've locked up DeRozan now this past offseason. A little too much money, in my opinion, but what do I know?
That's what the market dictated, for sure.
Definitely. But they're on their way. They drafted a few guys as well in the draft, in Jacob Poeltl and Pascal Siakam. So we'll see what the Raptors have to offer this upcoming season in a tougher Eastern Conference, obviously. The Hawks got better. They've added some pieces. The Celtics got better. That's what I wanted to say.
I think the Pacers got better, too.
The Pacers got better.
The Hawks, the Hawks could surprise. Losing Al Horford's going to hurt, but...
That's what I meant. I was thinking of Al Horford.
Dennis Schroeder could have a really big year as their go-to point guard this year.
Yeah, because they traded Jeff Teague to Indiana.
Yep. So they could have a really interesting year. Paul Millsap was my one of my breakout studs last year. I think he's going to continue to get better.
Only now the offense is kind of going to be dictated through him a little more. There's going to be no Horford. We all know Dwight Howard doesn't really have a big offensive game. If he can give it to them on the defensive end.
You know, he's an Atlanta guy, though. Maybe he'll be inspired playing in front of his home crowd, you know?
Yeah, but he doesn't have an offensive game, really.
Yeah, yeah, no, this is true. But he'll plug up the holes.
Yeah,
for sure.
But listen,
and
I Millsap's like that.
He's mostly a perimeter player. He can shoot the threes. He can do just about everything. So,
but I like the Dwight Howard move to Atlanta. I think if he's focused, he can give it all on the defensive end, which he dominated early on in his career, winning three Defensive Player of the Years in a row. First person to ever do that.
Yep.
And if he gives it to them on the off, on the defensive end and runs out in transition, gets those easy buckets, those putback dunks and stuff like that. But he's been working out. I've seen videos of him shooting the basketball. So we'll see. Yeah, we'll see what they have going. But the East got better. Going back to the Raptors, we'll see what they can do. Moving on to some other NBA news as well. Joel Embiid. Wow, have you seen these videos, Dave?
Yeah, he looks outstanding. Like, we were talking to this about this right before we started recording, and he looks like the player he looked like in Kansas, only way bigger. Like, he's obviously tacked on some mass, and he still looks lean. Like, he looks in fantastic shape, and he's bouncing all over the place. Like, I'm surprised with a guy that's had so many injuries to his legs and feet. I mean, he's really recovered well. Like, I think obviously the Sixers wanted to take their time in letting him recuperate entirely because they're not in a hurry to win, obviously. But this might be the perfect time to unleash him on the NBA. And Ben Simmons, having these guys that can get the ball into the paint, he might be their best center.
Oh, I think without even playing an NBA game yet, he is their best center. This is a guy that got drafted third overall, who was in conversation to be taken first overall if it wasn't for those injuries before the draft. And those workout videos, I know they're just workout and it's with the trainer and there's nobody there and it's not at the NBA speed and against NBA talent, obviously, but he's shown some flashes, man. And
yeah,
a skilled 7-footer, a big boy who's spinning off and dunking, and obviously he was a good defender at Kansas. And like you mentioned, Dave, he's put on the weight, and it's going to be very interesting to see him. Ben Simmons, also Dario Saric, who had a good Olympics.
And he can shoot the ball. And they're all handle it well.
Yeah, and they're all entering their rookie season. So Philly can have three options, you know, for Rookie of the Year, potentially.
I think there's only one option for Rookie of the Year on that team, though.
Yeah, and it's Ben Simmons. But I think Embiid will play very well, depending on how much they want to play him and they don't want to
It depends. Are they going to move a big man? Been hearing about Nerlens going to Boston potentially.
Okafor as well.
If Okafor goes, that opens the floor for both of those guys. I think Okafor, with the season he had, he was Philly's best player last year. You kind of have to play through him right now. But if you're able to get a good return for him, I think Embiid's a better fit. Offense, defense, everything.
But I think they have to wait and play a couple of games during the season and see if Embiid, how he reacts. That's why they've taken it slow with him. They said he feels 100% and he's going to be ready for preseason. They don't want to rush him into the summer league. There was no point of that. So you see how they play. Maybe can they share a few minutes on the floor together? I don't think so. It's going to clog out the paint too much.
It's amazing, though. Eh? They've been saying for years that the NBA isn't a big man's league anymore. And you look at some of the players who have come in the last few years. Just look at Philly. They've got three big men that could be the starting centers on different NBA franchises. With Noel, Okafor, and Embiid, you've got Nikola Jokic, you got Karl Anthony Towns. It's becoming a big
Porzingis,
man's league again.
Who's a four? But
yeah, well,
Noel's a four as well. But I know, like, a 4-5 position
is man up being a big man's league again. It's turning out that way. There are a lot of good big players being drafted and coming into the league, and it's a league that's constantly in flux.
Yeah, definitely, and I'm excited. I know you are. Philly has been a horrible team to watch the past two seasons, but
yeah.
I think they should. They are getting a nationally televised game. Their first game, I think, of the season is nationally televised against the Oklahoma City Thunder. So
that's,
it's going to be interesting
a lot of people
to see.
Be watching that game.
Definitely. Russell Westbrook, the whole thing of him, it's his team. And then you see, oh, wow, this Philly up and coming team with all these young guys. Not just these three rookies that are coming in this season, but Okafor coming back and Noel and Stauskas. Let's see. You know, he's Canadian, so we're going to mention him.
I like Jared Bayless, too.
Jared Bayless
came off
the
bench for my Bucks last year, and he was a really effective player. I think that he probably starts off the season as their starting point guard.
It's going to be interesting to see in Philly. It's going to be I want to see a team. I don't want to say a team to watch like every single night, but I think they're going to have some show some flashes and
that'll
some
be
potential.
Fun to watch.
Exactly, fun to watch and in the years to come. And I hope Simmons plays very well. I hope Embiid, you know, doesn't get hurt, and the stuff that we're seeing in the workout videos, he goes out and he performs like that on both ends of the floor. It's going to be very, very nice to see. And especially, like you said, a big man. I don't want to see all those 7-footers just sit behind the 3-point line and take those. Get inside the paint.
Yeah.
You know, battle for those rebounds and start cramming on some people.
He's like a throwback player. And
yeah.
He could be exactly what they need. He offers the rim protection. You pair him with a guy like Saric or with Simmons.
Yeah.
They don't
coming
offer a
in,
lot in
people
rim
were putting comparisons, and I don't want to say this because it's a big ladder to climb for him, but people were throwing the name Olajuwon around when they were talking about Embiid. Now, if he can even get to half of what Olajuwon did, I think it would be a success for Philly. But if he can get to the whole thing, that would be amazing.
So we got the Pelicans are in the news right now. Jrue Holiday, the starting point guard for the Pelicans, his wife has a brain tumor. And while they think it isn't life-threatening, it's a benign tumor, they're going to remove it. And he's going to miss the first portion of the NBA season while she recovers. They're also losing Tyreke Evans with an injury for the first part of the season.
He's been banged up most of his career, man. It's unfortunate.
It is, and he was a great player.
He was a rookie of the year.
Another Cal recruit to Memphis. So
yeah,
I think that they're in big trouble with losing arguably their second and third best players. Anthony Davis can't do it all by himself. They drafted Buddy Hield out of Oklahoma.
He'll see a lot of minutes early on.
I hope so. He's a
and
fun
a lot
player
of shots.
To watch. Yeah.
But the thing is, with the West, again, we saw last year with the Pelicans how they started off slow and with injuries, and they were too far behind to get back.
Yeah.
And now the same thing might happen again this season. They're going to get too far behind in a tough West, and that might even cost them to fire Alvin Gentry, who it won't really be his fault because he has no one to play.
Oh, he's been dealt a rough hand, for sure.
Exactly. He got there after leaving Golden State and winning that championship a couple of years ago, and last year was bad for the Pelicans. But obviously, it's not his fault, and everyone being banged up, they didn't really sign anyone. They lost Ryan Anderson. They lost Eric Gordon.
Yep.
So,
but would you want to re-sign in that tire fire in New Orleans? Like, I mean,
no,
come on.
No, I understand.
I don't blame
but
those guys for leaving.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's going to be tough for Alvin Gentry.
No, definitely.
And it's going to be too
it's
much
a raw
at the
deal
beginning.
For him,
yeah.
He's a heck of a coach. There's
and it's
no
going to be too hard at the beginning of the season. They're going to fall too far behind in the tough West, and it might cost his job.
Yep. It's a raw deal, but hopefully AD can and Buddy Hield, you got these young players to build around. Hopefully they can put something together and get some wins early in the season.
We'll see how it goes.
That's right. So, Joey LaVerne.
Jeffrey LaVerne.
Unreal. He's from France. You forget about that stuff. Anyway, he's from Denver last year. He had a great breakout season for a young player, and he was shipped to the Thunder for 2 seconds. What do you think about this?
It's not bad. It gives him some depth for the Thunder. Another big man in the rotation, a guy that can stretch the floor a little bit, rebound.
Play the four or the five. Yeah,
rebounds, passes a little. He you know, has that European style. He was all right for France in the qualifiers and in the Olympics. So just some more talent for them, more guys for Westbrook to pass. I don't think it's a major move.
Yeah, well, I think it's good for Denver, making some space.
Yeah.
I think that with
they had a
Nurkic,
lot of guys.
Nurkic and Jokic kind of want to build around the two young players. Obviously, LaVerne isn't an old guy. He's in his early 20s. But I think it's a good move for Denver. They're going to have to make some other moves. They've got like 37 players on their roster right now. Most of them promising.
That's the thing with Denver. The past couple of years, they've just been a load
asset
of talent. Yeah,
consolidation.
Assets.
Well, they have to consolidate some of their assets. They got to...
They got now. They brought in Jamal Murray. They have Gary Harris.
Yeah,
Moutier,
who do you want to move?
Jokic. They have Wilson Chandler who's going to come back. Yeah, Gallinari, who's I think their best player probably. I mean, Jokic is on the rise, but Gallinari is a guy who can go out there and give you like 20, 25 a night.
Yeah,
he's been banged up. The 4-3, and they got a lot of guys. They have a good coach in Mike Malone, so that might be a surprise team too this year in the West and in the NBA.
Call me biased, but I think Jamal Murray is going to have a big year for Denver.
Well, I hope so.
I think he'll be a first-team all-rookie. Heard it here first. Probably not. Other people have been saying it, too. Ty Lawson, 1-year deal, non-guaranteed with the Kings.
You know,
not exactly the golden age of Ty Lawson these days, is it?
No, and not the golden age for the Sacramento Kings either. The only golden thing about them is their golden center, which was above budget. They spent an extra, I think, like $200 million building
the coaching upgrade.
Coaching upgrade is good, but Ty Lawson, you know, with a new coach and David Yeager, a guy who's going to push you on both ends of the floor, especially defensively. We saw him with Memphis, but Ty Lawson is a guy who was playing very well in Denver before all of his DUI problems, and then he bounced around a little bit, Houston and Indiana at the end of the last season. And this is a guy who really has to prove himself, or else he's going to see himself out of the NBA real soon. So it's kind of a good situation for both teams. It's non-guaranteed on the Kings side, and they're just taking a 1 year on him. And he's a guy who wants to come in here and has to bounce back, right? He has to show, like, I can do this. And maybe if they play a little bit up-tempo, he can revive his career a little bit, because they only have Darren Collins in there, too. Yep. Rondo left to go to Chicago.
Not a lot of depth in their other backcourt positions either.
Exactly. So we can see them both on the floor at the same time. But it's not he kind of predicted that himself last year at the deadline, saying he was going to get traded there. Instead, now signs there as a free agent. So this is a move that's kind of like a low risk, high reward. So definitely, you're not risking a lot as a non-guaranteed deal.
For sure.
And if he turns out to be, amazing, back to his Denver days, or gets a little bit, his assist, maybe between 6 and 8 assists, he can get you a night. Hopefully 12, 13 points. You know, it's not the highest reward, but it's a little bit of a return.
Hopefully they can do enough to maybe slide into that 8th spot so that Boogie doesn't demand to leave, because you all know this is going to happen eventually. He's not going to stick around through this forever. He's a superstar.
He's a superstar that hasn't seen the postseason yet, and he's calmed down. He's played on the national team. I think
he's handled it very well, considering. Another player in a worse position in the NBA than DeMarcus Cousins.
An all-star?
Yeah.
There is none.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Carmelo, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, but now with his additions. But Carmelo's seen the playoffs a bit in his years in New York.
Now he's on a super team, if you ask Derrick Rose.
Exactly. The thing with Cuz is, exactly, he's a free agent in, I believe, 2018. So he has this season. And if they don't make the playoffs, oh my. Next summer might be the summer DeMarcus Cousins gets traded, or even at that deadline. Because how are you going to tell a guy, you know, stay here, sign another long-term deal without even making the postseason?
We'll bring back Mike Malone, anything.
Yeah, he's seen so many different coaches. One last point before we take a short break. Curry came out, he's on his China tour, and he's come out and he said he wasn't 100% during the playoffs, or his knee wasn't 100%. Now, there was a lot of conversation about that in the postseason. During their run where he got hurt, he didn't play
a
few games. Then he came out and he said, yeah, I'm close to 100%, or I'm 80%, or I'm still playing. There's no excuses. And now coming out and saying he wasn't 100%.
Yeah.
Does it change anything?
I don't know. It's not like they're going to go back and do the series over again. He looked injured. I mean, the guy was so lights out for most of the season. As you know, I mean, he put up a pretty historic season for his second MVP. And to see him slide in the playoffs and just show his frustration, throwing his mouth guard late in the series and everything like that. Like, this is just completely out of character from what I've seen from both the Warriors and Steph Curry all season long. They seem so composed and confident. In that playoff, they fell apart, and it had to be something to do with Curry being injured. But I don't really see what it does. You see this all the time. Oh, you know.
But he waited, like, he didn't say it right after the series was over. Didn't say it when free agency began.
I'm pretty sure a reporter pulled it out of him anyway. Like,
yeah,
not like
but
he's whining.
No, he's not. He's just now finally admitting, okay, I wasn't 100%. But he's saying that at the end of the summer, you know, training camp starts in a couple of weeks. But he's probably 100% now. He's also saying that he's watching Game 7 for motivation leading up to the season. Also, Curry said that Thompson's comments from earlier this summer. He said that no sacrifices will be made with Kevin Durant joining. With Kevin Durant joining, he's kind of saying, like, he's just another guy that we're implementing, and we're still going to play the same basketball. And if Kevin Durant doesn't really care about his shots, then, you know, one night maybe it can be Thompson and Curry. One night it's going to be Draymond Green and Durant. One night it's going to be Durant and Curry. So it's kind of, that's what Curry, I think, is coming to in terms of, where I'm not going to be taking less shots. It's just going to be some nights where I won't be taking the most
shots.
You
follow the hot hand.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that is how it's going to go down, and I think that KD must have known that when he signed with them. Listen, I'm joining the best team maybe in NBA history. I'm not coming in and stealing the spotlight. We've got a two-time reigning MVP on this team.
The last three MVPs.
Yeah, them. I'm a pretty darn good player. One of the best players in the league, but he's only going to add to what they already do. He fits into their style perfectly. He can stretch the floor. He can shoot it from anywhere, just like Curry, just like Thompson. They've got a three-headed monster in their backcourt. And you've got a guy like Draymond Green. I think Draymond will lose touches. I don't think Draymond cares.
I think he'll lose shots. I don't know if he'll necessarily lose touches because he's going to rebound. He's going to bring the ball up.
Yeah.
The ball's going to go into him in the paint. He's going to try to find his guys. He's going to drive and kick it out. Shooting, he does. I don't know if he really cares, but this is a guy who is probably going to average over 10 rebounds and 10 assists, maybe.
Well, you look at the old Bulls team where Rodman was kind of the guy who would grab the boards and move it up to Michael and Pippen. I really think that Draymond's going to fall into that defensive specialist. Obviously, he can handle the ball way better than Dennis Rodman could, so that kind of adds an element to his game, but I think he's going to focus on that side and
defend, yeah.
Yeah, the rest of the team will play around him. You've got superstars at every position. It's going to be scary.
It's going to be scary, and it's going to be interesting. I cannot wait till the NBA season starts. Preseason kicks off at the beginning of October. Woo! Training camp a little later in this month, and we'll keep you posted here on 3 in the Key with everything. That was a little roundup of the last couple of weeks in NBA news, and we'll be back after the break with Randy Cruz of the Cruz Control Podcast to talk New York Knicks. Stay with us.
Like, I just want to win, man. That's the only thing I want to do. I know it's going to be a lot of pressure. People going to try to put a lot of pressure on us. Like, it's no pressure at all. All we got to do is just go out there, play together, and win games.
Welcome back to 3 in the Key.
Hello and welcome back inside the Key. 3 in the Key. Elias Lozane alongside Dave Tripp. No Will Macklin. He's sick and throwing his guts out.
Poor Will.
Yeah. So we're going to move on. We're going to move on without him. We are joined now by Randy Cruz of the Cruz Control Podcast out of New York to discuss some Knicks tape. Thanks for taking the time, Randy.
Thank you, man, and I appreciate it.
All right, Randy. So the Knicks made some big moves this offseason. We all know Melo's getting a little older. He can still ball, of course, but they went out and acquired D. Rose. They signed Noah. They signed Courtney Lee. Brandon Jennings off the bench. Obviously, Porzingis is still there, only entering his second season. As a Knicks fan, are you optimistic about these moves, and what do you expect from the team this upcoming season?
I'm very optimistic this season. I know there's... you know, every year we tend to go through this where, you know, we get a couple of new guys and we start saying, well, you know, I think this could be a playoff team. Or if we get a new coach, we say, I think this could be a playoff team. And I think for the first time in, I think, 2-3 years that we can look at our roster top to bottom and say, well, this is actually a playoff team. And like you said, Melo is not getting any younger. He's in his early 30s, maybe at the end tail of his prime. You have a budding star in Porzingis. You bring along Derrick Rose, Joakim Noah, Courtney Lee, and Brandon Jennings. Three out of those four are playoff and battle-tested. You know, Derrick Rose, a former MVP, multiple-time All-Star, played in the Eastern Conference Finals just like 5 years ago with Noah. So when you add all those guys and the fact that Jeff Hornacek is now the new Knicks head coach, again, on paper, it sounds like, I mean, you know, it looks like the Knicks can make the playoffs and maybe make the second round. But again, like we always say, the game's got to be played. And if everybody remains healthy for a great portion of the season, then the Knicks can, in fact, make the playoffs.
Well, Derrick Rose has been pretty vocal since he joined the team, saying that they're a super team. There's no arguing. The Knicks are a super team. They've got depth in lots of positions. They're certainly, like you said, they look like a playoff team on paper, bringing in these players. Is the city of New York as optimistic as their new star point guard?
They are, but I don't know about being a super team and going 82-0. I think it's, you know, I think they like the fact that Derrick Rose is confident so far this offseason. just the fact that he's coming from the Chicago Bulls, a team that he feels that kind of gave up on him. And I know they're going through a minor rebuilding process on their own. So if he's going to say, my team is a super team, or I feel like we can win every single game, then, I mean, you have to love the confidence, but, you know, there's also a thing called reality. And say, well, if I don't win 82 games, I can settle for 43, 44, 45 in that range. But to win 45 games and to make the AFC, you got to win at least 45 games. And the Knicks only won 32 last year. So automatically you have to feel like they have to win 13 more games with this new roster. So I think they can do it. I like the confidence of our point guard. Both our point guards, Rose and Jennings, have been speaking highly about the team and working out and just getting mentally and physically prepared for the season. So at least you see that, you know, that's going on. So I think everybody's taking it seriously. I think this is a year that when I say make noise, I mean like the Knicks can not only make the playoffs, but not just make it to one round and that's it. I think they really have a chance to really go to the second round. And I'm not going to say Eastern Conference Finals just yet because other teams in the East have improved, like Toronto, Boston, Atlanta, Indiana. So it will be tough to try to overlap all those teams in one season. But I guess making progress is what we're looking for. And maybe they'll shock the world and advance to the conference finals and play a team like Cleveland. But, you know, one game at a time, you know, training camp and preseason, just try to see how this team gels and see what the chemistry is like. Because there are many new pieces going on, like I said, with the coach and the free agents going on coming on board. So it's not just one guy that's brand new. It's like five people. So, like I said, on paper, it sounds great. Everybody here is very, very optimistic. They, you know, they can't wait. We're just about a month and a half away from the season starting. So, like I said, I like our point guard being confident. And if our starting point guard, can remain healthy and really produce, then I think that'll go a long way.
Now, speaking of Derrick Rose, he's involved in some legal troubles right now. There's a charge against him in a gang rape case, and it's kind of been buried a little bit this season, I found, in the media. It's coming up again because some of the details are surfacing. Do you think that that's going to be a distraction for the Knicks, given all their changes and everything going into the season, him coming into New York? Do you think that case could cause some trouble for both Derrick Rose and the Knicks?
I mean, I think it could be, but I think they would do everything in their power to make it not a distraction. I think the trial is going on, I think, early October when they open up the preseason or the training camp, something like that. So,
are people talking about it in New York right now?
Not so much. I know they know about it. I know they hear about it, but it's not like, oh wow, are we not going to have Derrick Rose the entire year? Are we going to not have Derrick Rose being fully focused on the season because of the trial? So it is being talked about here and there, but I don't think it's going to derail the focus of Derrick Rose and the team.
Well, joining us right now are Randy Cruz of the Cruz Control Podcast here on 3 in the Key. Randy, two questions here. How does Porzingis fit here in his second year with all these, I don't want to say stars, but guys that are established in the NBA and have you know, made some noise themselves and know winning a Defensive Player of the Year? We all know who Melo is. D-Rose, a former MVP, trying to get himself back to that level. How is Porzingis going to fit in his second year alongside those guys, especially after having a solid and surprise rookie season? And what can people expect from Courtney Lee?
Well, I'll answer the second one first. I think people should expect Courtney Lee to be a guy that can produce and get anywhere between, I would say, 12, 17 points a game on an average night. The guy can defend. The guy can hit outside shots. The guy can be that guy that, not saying he's the ultimate lockdown defender, but when you need a stop or when you need a key bucket, he's a guy that's going to be dependent on doing that. And we saw him do that in Memphis. We saw that do that in Charlotte. So I was in favor of the pick. I know they were trying to get other two guards during free agency. So when they settled for him, I was like, cool, because the guy just got off playing in the playoffs with Charlotte, and you know, in a game seven against Miami Heat. So the guy, again, is battle tested, playoff tested, has played in big time moments. So I feel like that was a guy that you know was going to be key for the Knicks. And to your Porzingis question, you know, some people were saying that if now the fact that you know these new guys are they going to halt or derail or kind of you know minimize the growth of Porzingis? I don't see that. I think when you add veteran players like Noah and Jennings and these guys know that it is still Melo's team, but like in a few years they know it's going to be Porzingis' team, and he's you know he's the guy, he's the man. So him improving on getting stronger, doing some more post up moves, you know taking it upon himself to you know create his own shot, and you know just. You know, even in crunch time, I think a lot of times last year the Knicks were playing games, and you know it'll be the fourth quarter and they'll be right in the middle of it, down five or whatever, and Porzingis was not playing, and Derek Fisher either A did not have him play the entire fourth quarter or played him, you know, a little bit in crunch time, and everybody here was like, listen, if this is going to be the guy that's going to be the franchise going forward, along with Melo, or even when after Melo retires or whatever, you know he needs to start playing in crunch time. He needs to be that go-to guy that we need in the fourth quarter if we're down late in the game. So I think just I would say more minutes, but not too much minutes for him. And the same thing for Melo. Melo can't be playing 35, 40 minutes a game. And I think with these additions, they're going to help him take the load defensively, offensively. And I think year two, hopefully Porzingis, you know, doesn't run into the sophomore wall and take a step back. I think he could take many steps forward. And with the veteran leadership of the Rose, the Noah, the Jennings, even Melo, I just don't think that his game's going to be the same or stagnant. I think he'll progress. I think he'll benefit from these additions, and the fact that Melo has always been by his side since day one. So I think Porzingis is in very good hands, and also the coach. You know, Jeff Hornacek played many years in the league, coached many years as well. So he's got the history, the guidance behind him, and I think the sky's the limit for Porzingis.
Thanks to Randy Cruz of the Cruise Control Podcast for joining us on 3 in the Key. Elias Elzain alongside Dave Tripp, and we'll be back to discuss NCAA and who we think is going to make a breakout in their sophomore seasons in the NBA. Stay tuned.
Devin Booker having such a splendid rookie year. He's fourth among all rookie scorers at 13.4, putting up a three and drilling it. That's his third three tonight.
Russell for the win. Redemption in the ice in his veins is still
here. Welcome back to 3 in the Key.
Welcome back inside the Key. Elias Elzain alongside Dave Tripp. Will is not here with us today. He is sick. Get well, buddy. So, Dave, before we get into college basketball and your masterpiece.
I am the professor.
You are the professor when it comes to college ball. We're going to go through a quick list of guys who we think are going to have a good second year, sophomore season. So
yeah.
Hit us with a few names.
Well, what do you think about D'Angelo Russell? I know he's a Laker.
He is a Los Angeles Laker, and I'm expecting big things from him. He is expecting big things from himself.
Management, I think so.
Management and the organization is expecting a big season from him. A guy who played but didn't get along with Byron Scott a lot, so he was coming off the bench. Byron Scott's gone, and everything that Russell said about Luke Walton in the media since his hire is that he's a great guy, one of the best guys he knows, getting along with him well. He's asking him a lot of questions because he spent the last couple of years in Golden State with guys like Curry and Thompson who can really shoot it. But obviously last year was a year for the Lakers where it was all about Kobe Bryant. So it was about nobody else but Kobe. Russell, Averaged 13.2 points, 3.3 assists, 3.4 rebounds, and 1.2 steals. Shot at 41% from the field, 35% from three-point range, which is pretty good for a
pretty
rookie.
Pretty good year for a rookie.
73.7% from the free throw line. Now, I hope that 73 bumps up to like a high 70 or at least 80% because he can do it. He's a good guy.
He didn't have a lot of chances last year. He didn't get to the line very often.
No, and 41% from the field is okay. It's not the greatest. That should be bumped up to at least 45. And three-point shooting, I'm okay with it staying at 35.
That's only
if it goes up to
too,
37
yeah.
to 38, that's fine. But the scoring from 13, I think they should bump up to at least 18. Now there's going to be more shots.
He's going to get the ball a lot more. He's not going to be coming off the bench every game like he did under Byron Scott.
They're going to run out in transition a lot, and I think they're going to play a high-paced offense because they're not really old guys on that team.
I think
they're
that there was
a young guys.
I think there was a high expectation for Russell because he went second overall. And you look at your Carl Anthony Towns hat, I mean, yeah, maybe an unfair amount of criticism on Russell. He was still a freshman out of college, so he's still a very young player. He's got some maturing to do, as everyone knows with the Swaggy P incident. But I think this is a brand new start for him this season with a younger team, and he's going to have the opportunity to be the quarterback.
Yeah, 18 points I'm hoping for now. He averaged 3.3 assists. I'm hoping that goes up to like 7 or 8. So, you know, 18 and 8 would be good. You know, 20 and 10 would be phenomenal. But 18 and 8, I think, would be a good solid bounce back. Not bounce back, but a good...
He'd be a candidate for most improved player if he did that next year.
For sure.
Which is where he probably should be. What do you think about Miles Turner in Indiana? They made a lot of big changes. But Ian Mahim is out. He may end up being the starting center. You got Al Jefferson backing him up potentially. He could be poised for a breakout season.
You don't think they'd start Jefferson and have Turner come off the bench or Turner at the four?
I think that they'd probably start Turner. Jefferson didn't really start many games in Charlotte last year. Came off the bench for the most part, playing behind Cody Zeller. I think that Miles Turner's a better center right now than Cody Zeller.
Yeah, Miles Turner showed some flashes in that series against the Raptors. He obviously can block shots. He's a young guy. And he's one of the guys that really impressed on that USA Select team.
Definitely.
A lot of guys were talking about him, and he can be the next big thing. But he's very good defensively, and he's just only going to add to his offensive game. He's definitely a guy I like for Indiana and for big man moving on in the NBA.
I think my pick for breakout sophomore is Devin Booker in Phoenix. He obviously started the season a little slow, buried in the depth chart. They had Brandon Knight playing the two for the beginning of the season. And as the year went on, they had injuries. Bledsoe went down. Knight went down. They had no choice but to put Booker in the spotlight. And he dominated. He was fantastic. He was probably the best rookie other than Karl Anthony Towns for the second half of the season, working his way all the way into the first all-rookie team. I see him having a big season. He could play the two. He could play the three. He's a great ball handler, especially for a young player like this. You don't always see guys translate so quickly in the NBA. I think he had a better year in the NBA than he did in college under Calipari last year. So I think that he's poised to have a big year. And we were talking about this off air. A lot of really good players around the league are speaking up about how good they think Devin Booker's going to be.
Exactly. A lot of guys, including D-Wade, who says it's his favorite, I believe, young guy in the NBA. And Devin Booker, a guy who can shoot it. And I like his game, man. He attacks the rim. He has the shot. He'll defend. He'll get you a couple of rebounds. But now with those guys healthy in Phoenix, it's going to be interesting to see how he's going to fit with them and what his averages are going to be like. Is he still going to get those shots that he got in the second half of the season because everyone was banged up and they had to have someone take those shots? But I think they're going to put him more in the offense because he's proven that he can play and play consistently at this level. A couple of other guys we're going to that we think could have an impact this season. We won't go through too much detail on them, but Justice Winslow now, D-Wade gone, so that's another guy who can make some noise down in the South Beach.
He was very strong last year, too. They used him to stretch the floor a lot at the four when Chris Bosh went down, so he could be a real impact player.
Yeah. Another guy who's on the list, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, who didn't play much in his rookie season. But
he missed
now
some times with injury, too.
Yeah, and now with basically nobody on the Brooklyn Nets roster, I think he'll either get most of the minutes or start alongside maybe Jeremy Lin in the backcourt or even put him at the three. But That's a guy who was all right, who was pretty good in Arizona.
Yep.
And
is pretty well his competition for that combo forward guard kind of thing is Caris LeVert, who missed most of the year
at Michigan.
At Michigan with an injury. And then they used a first round pick to take him.
Exactly.
And they traded Thaddeus Young for that pick. For an injured player.
So it's going to be interesting to see. Brooklyn, obviously, a slow rebuilding process with not owning any picks in the near future.
Foreseeable future.
Yeah.
They have a pick swap with the Celtics next year, and we all know that pick's going to be awful.
Exactly. Mario Hezonja out in Orlando, a guy who showed some flashes in his rookie season.
Oladipo's out of town.
Yeah, Oladipo's out of town. That's what I was about to say. So Mario Hezonja can definitely make some noise along with Evan Fournier. Those two guys look to be a lock to battle, at least for the 2-3 position.
There's a logjam in the front court, but lots of space in the back court for guys to get opportunities.
The 2 and the 3 spot is pretty open. I think at the 1, obviously, you'll have Elfrid Payton.
Mm-hmm.
That's a guy who can make some noise. Cameron Payne, who's a backup point guard.
Most notable for his dancing with Westbrook during the playoffs, I think.
Exactly, and now I think we'll see a couple of more minutes backing up Westbrook and Oladipo probably in OKC. And the last but not least, I guess, is Frank the Tank Kaminsky out of Charlotte. What is he going to give?
I think he takes a step. I really like Frank Kaminsky in college despite the fact that he eliminated my Wildcats. I thought he was a great personality in college. And as a rookie, I think he made an impact, but not a lot of people gave him credit for it. When Al Jefferson went out, he kind of filled the role coming off the bench behind Cody Zeller. He's able to play the 4. He can stretch the floor. He shoots threes. He's able to do a lot of things. He was a leader in college. I hope he can develop into that in the NBA. I think that he'll take a step, but I think it'll be limited in what he can do because the Hornets are a pretty good team, and I don't see them giving him the keys to the Cadillac right off the bat.
No, and Jefferson left, right? So it's going to open up some more minutes for him as well. That's a list of guys we have potentially that can have breakout sophomore seasons. If we miss someone or if you know someone heading into their second year, obviously Karl Towns and Porzingis, we know they're going to be good.
They're going to be
They had some good rookie campaigns. But if there's anyone we missed or we didn't mention, please let us know. You can get at us at the3andthekey@gmail.com, on Facebook, message us at 3 and the Key, on Twitter at basketball, on Instagram, the3andthekey. So get a hold of us. Let us know what you think and who can possibly make an impact in their second season in the NBA. Moving on now to a different kind of basketball, college. So Dave, our professor and master of college basketball, is going to give us a little rundown and preview of this upcoming NCAA season.
Just mention some of the big teams, the big conferences, who you think is going to really come out of those. SEC. So the Kentucky Wildcats are the class of the SEC again next year. Big surprise. I know they typically don't recruit well. Actually, no, they recruit extremely well. They had 4 top 15 recruits. That will be the balance of their team next year. They're losing some guys with transfers. A little surprising, maybe. Marcus Lee taking off. Charles Matthews taking off. So we're going to see a new Kentucky team like we do just about every year. Darren Fox. You're going to see Malik Monk. Bam Adebayo, great name. I think Kentucky's going to be the class of the SEC. Last year, Texas A&M was a real competition for them in the SEC and ended up actually finishing higher than them in the NCAA championship rankings, which surprised a lot of people because Kentucky won the SEC. They have Tyler Davis back, their big center, but short of that, I think their team will take a dip, and there aren't a lot of other great teams that are fighting with Kentucky for supremacy of the SEC. Now, Auburn did get a 5-star recruit, first time in their history, in Mustafa Heron. And he'll be an impact player. But short of that, we're going to move on to another conference. How about the ACC? They usually have a couple good teams a year. Duke, pretty much, it kills me to say this, they pretty much have to be the favorite for the national championship this year. You got Grayson Allen coming back, one of the better players in college basketball last year. You've got Frank Jackson, Jason Tatum, Harry Giles, and Marcus Bolden, 4 5-star recruits. And they've got depth. Emile Jefferson's back. Luke Kennard's back. Matt Jones is back. Their team is disgusting. Like, you could take the ninth best player on Duke and put him on any starting rotation in the country, and he'd probably be one of their better players. It's absurd. Coach Krzyzewski, make room on your finger for another ring. UNC, who went to the national championship last year, also has a great returning team. They didn't lose hardly anybody from their team. But I think in the ACC, Duke will be the class this year. UNC will be a close second. Syracuse University, your favorite. How about that? I love Syracuse, too. They're almost a local team. Almost. The closest thing we have to a local team here in Ottawa.
A local NCAA team.
That's right. So they lose Malachi Richardson, which hurts big time. But they get Tyler Lydon back, who is going to be a mover in this year's draft. Mark my words. They also get Andrew White, a big-time transfer. And they're poised to actually become an impact team next year. Jim Boeheim's got some, he's got a second wind here. He's going to make an impact just like they did last year, going all the way to the Final Four, surprising a lot of teams. This year won't be as much of a surprise if they do it, despite losing Malachi Richardson. Florida State gets Dwayne Bacon back. Great, delicious name. And also, also Jonathan Isaac, a five-star recruit, coming in. So they'll be an interesting team to watch. In the Big Ten, Indiana loses Yogi Ferrell, four-year player there. Iced my Wildcats in the second round of the tournament last year, but they do get some good players back. They got James Blackman. Thomas Bryant is back. Big five-star center from last year. Big impact player. Michigan State, another team to look out for. Two five-star recruits in Miles Bridges and Josh Langford. Aaron Davis coming back. They're going to have a good team. Wisconsin, this is a team that I really like this year. Obviously, Nigel Hayes, a player that we've been watching for a couple of years, Cinderella, two-time Final Fourist with Frank Kaminsky and Sam Decker back in the day. Another big push last year.
A national championship game, right?
Yes, yes. Very, very skilled team. Well, he's back. So is Bronson Koenig, who's also on that team, the national champion. And Ethan Happ, who might have been the breakout player of last year's tournament. And arguably the Big Ten championship. I think that this guy was the second half player of the year. Real breakout player. He's gonna be in contention for National Player of the Year this year. I like Wisconsin's team. Maryland, they got Melo Trimble back. That's about it. Their team looked disgusting on paper last year, in a good way. And this year they got Melo Trimble, and that's it. Diamond Stone's gone. Everybody's gone. It'll hurt for them this year. And the Big 12, of course, Kansas. 12 straight Big 12 championships. Bill Self is a master. And what do they do to follow up? They get the number one recruit in the country, Josh Jackson. This guy's going to be so much fun to watch. Kind of looking at another Andrew Wiggins in this player. Defense, offense, athleticism, everything. And they also have Devontae Graham coming back. Just a bunch of really good players. Kansas is going to be the class. If I had to rank them, I'd probably put Duke at one, which really hurts. Kansas at two. Maybe Kentucky. Yeah, it's going to be another good year.
What about Villanova, who won the championship last year?
I never got to the Big East, but Villanova, they get both Chris Jenkins and Josh Hart back. On top, Omari Spellman, five-star center, so they're going to be able to pick up some of their losses. The only thing is they don't have Archie Diacono. Ryan Archie Diacono was a special player in the Big East in college basketball. Didn't get drafted, but he's a senior. His career's done, so it's going to be on Jalen Brunson, former five-star pick from last year, to fill that void, and they are definitely going to push to repeat as national champions.
And there you have it, folks. The college basketball breakdown by Dave Tripp. And that does it for us this week. Just Dave and I here on 3 Nikki, Will Away Sick.
Get well soon, brother.
Yeah, get well. And if you guys have anything you'd like us to talk about, or again, any questions about any topic in the NBA or even NCAA, and CIS, get a hold of us at the3nikki@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at 3nikki. Follow on Twitter at BasketPod. On Instagram at the3nikki. And remember, you can listen to each and every episode, including this one, on iTunes, SoundCloud, TuneIn, and Stitcher Radio. Make sure to rate and review us on iTunes as well. For Dave Tripp, I'm Elias Elzane. Peace.
Peace.